You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps. Restrictions apply.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
NYYST. Hold up. Why do they doubt the kid? I'm about to prove them all wrong again. I got a low tolerance because they don't even know where their problem is. It's me. You waiting on the boy to fail? Now hold your breath and face your death. Because you play a roulette with each step. I progress no less. Go ahead and place your bets. Because we know who we are. Yeah, we know we top tier. Because all the hate that you bring, we know it stops here. I'm taking off like a rocketeer and stopping here. It's strange how they cannot see the future, but see profit here. Wait up.
Welcome back. This is episode 456 of the NYYST podcast. We're live on NYY Underground. I'm your host, Christian. I'm joined by my co-host, Sem.
What's up?
And SGR.
Okay. Laborers local.
Did they sponsor the show today, or are you just going with it?
Sorry, man. It's just that long day, and I heard the ad on the way here, and it's what gets me into the mic voice now.
Did you see that? I don't know if you caught it, but he got attacked by his dog.
No,
well, not really attacked, but he was saying,
"Okay, it's a Chihuahua. Okay, it did attack me. Okay, I'm from Laborers Local."
He does his show on YouTube also, and. The dog, he was laying on the couch and the dog jumped him and basically like scratched up his entire face. Like, I didn't see a visual of it. They were making fun of him on Boomer and Geo, though.
Now I'll go viral. Day. Now I'm going to go viral again. Okay.
Well, we are pleased to have everybody here live in the chat tonight. If you're in the chat here on NYYU, please like this video, subscribe to NYY Underground. And while you're there, Pete has it pinned to the top of the chat. Please subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts. I know some of you might be getting annoyed by me saying that over and over again, but we will not be on NYYU again until April 24th, but that does not mean there will be no new episodes. We will be recording in between our appearances here on NYYU, so please subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts. This way you do not miss any content from NYYST. The link to subscribe on Apple is pinned to the top of the chat here. And please tell everybody NYYST is the official Yankee podcast of Odyssey. So it's good to have SGR here with us tonight. Sam, how you doing, man? I want you to say hello,
Sammy.
To everybody.
How you doing, Sammy?
How you doing? Oh, you want me to complain? You're just trying to get me to complain. I'm not going to complain.
No, you want to complain, but you know,
nope, not gonna do it.
I let Ryan come in with the impersonation there, and you were just kind of faded off into the background. So I don't want you to feel slighted or triggered. I want you to come in and do what you do here and be like,
my belly hurts.
Little tummy ache.
Okay.
That's
it.
He wanted to complain. He did. He's got a tummy ache. Okay. Cody Bellinger had a tummy ache.
Yeah, dude. And then he went back in. I don't know how you do that, too, because I think the Buffalo wings is what caused it, right? In the first
place.
Yeah,
that's what he said. He ate bad wings.
And then he goes right in the next day. I think wings, I would be able to make an exception for that.
But I can't go back to the same food that caused it the day after. Like, yeah, I wouldn't be able to do it.
Yeah, that's crazy. Wings, though. Wings are good. Those wings look good.
Yeah, but especially after having a little bit of food poisoning, which I think we don't have to get graphic about it, what that entails and where it's coming from, why you'd want to go back to something spicy the day after.
Yeah.
Like, I think you'd want to let things cool down a little bit. But that's what makes Cody, I guess. But, you know, I spent all season, you know, saying Cody was gonna bang here, and the only thing he's banging is a toilet bowl so far. He's gotta get it going here. There's a few guys that kind of have to get things picked up here. As the Yankees really hit their first skid of the year, I know they lost two in a, you know, that two games to Arizona, but then they picked it up with three in a row. They lost that heartbreaker in the finale in Pittsburgh, and then they just, again, it was a really weird series in Detroit. Because they were all supposed to be 6:40 starts, and then they were all afternoon games because of the weather. The offense really didn't do much of anything in any of these three games. So it's really kind of hard to get a read for what the Yankees are at this point, other than, you know, you could say that they faced Tarik Skubal, who, in my opinion, is the best pitcher in baseball. And, you know, you looked at the numbers coming in. He had a couple of rough starts, and then it's like, okay, maybe it's going to take Tarik Skubal a little bit longer to get going here because Goldie and Rice lead off with hits. And then he was down in the count 2-0 to Judge, and then he got that strike in there, and then it was the Cy Young Award winner on the mound. So the Yankees were just kind of shut down in that game. You look at Monday's game there, and this is the thing that frustrates me to no end with Aaron Boone. The guy, Casey Mize, if you look at the stat line, shut him down, right? Well, we had some really good at-bats, and we had some near misses. And I'll be the first to admit, I really didn't see a lot of this game because the game started at 3. I didn't get home till about 4, 5-ish, 4. I forget. So I really only caught the final few innings. You know, I think Casey Mize was out of the game at that point. So I really didn't see. But, like, I hate Aaron Boone I just hate Aaron Boone, period. But I hate when he does that because I don't know if you guys remember last year. Was it last year or 2 years ago when they were out in Anaheim and the pitcher, I forget his name, he had like 15 strikeouts and Boone was like, well, we had some really good at-bats.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You struck out 15 times, dude. What good at-bats did you have? They resulted in nothing, but you struck out 15 times. You know, and then Jack Flaherty was really, you know, had a really good outing yesterday. So, you know, that's the thing, though. Casey Mize, Tarik Skubal, Jack Flaherty, these aren't bad pitchers. Obviously, we all know how great Skubal is. And, you know, Casey Mize is a top pick, and Jack Flaherty is a guy that's, you know, has the capability of being really good as well. So with the weather, I don't want to make too much out of this series, but it was a little disappointing that this offense that just had people out there talking about how we got to ban these bats did nothing. It's either the Yankees have to find the middle ground here. We're almost kind of like what they did in Pittsburgh, where, okay, we know we're not going to score 20 runs every game, but we can't go out there and basically, you know, spit up all over ourselves at the plate every, you know, for three games.
Yeah, Detroit's going to be a team too that they're really, they could be a team that goes all the way this year with that pitching. Because then you have that kid Jackson Job, who I think's making.
Yeah, he's a top prospect. He's one of the
top prospects with him, Skubal, and Flaherty, and Mays in there too, who's throwing hard again. That's a very scary.
You know, and they were in the playoffs last year, so we know this is not
the best team in baseball since when? I mean, because when did that run really start last year?
After they traded Jack Flaherty when they were sellers at the deadline, then they went on.
Yeah, so that's since that point, you'd say they're the best team in regular season in the regular season.
So there's a couple things that I really want to kind of get to today, and I don't want to be super negative. I think we'll save the Devin Williams stuff for the end of the show. He's the closer, right? So let's close with that. But there are concerning things about this team. And, you know, Aaron Judge, did he have a great series in Detroit? You know, but you know, he as much as we went over the top in the last couple of episodes with how great he is, we know that he is still human and he's not going to hit home runs every game. There are times where he will make it seem like that, but you know, he's going to come back down to earth at certain points. So, you know, it's up to other guys to kind of step up, and nobody is really taking that role except for really Paul Goldschmidt, who I've so far,
and Rice, I'd say
I'm, you know, him, you know, I'm getting there, you know, yeah, that's my boy.
Okay. Go ahead.
Goldie, I was a little trepidatious about him coming in, and I know it's still early. It's only 12 games, but I've been really impressed with Paul Goldschmidt. He's not going out there just for the power. It's just what I really like about Goldschmidt, maybe this is a product of him being the leadoff hitter, is he's just trying to find space somewhere.
Yeah, you see, he's driving the ball all over the field.
Which
he looks good. Looks great.
Look, man, you're batting in front of Aaron Judge. Your job really isn't to be the run producer that you were in your career. It's just to get on base. And he's done a really good job of that. I got to give Goldie a lot of credit so far throughout this early course of the season here of him doing what he needs to do offensively. I think the power numbers are going to come too as the season progresses. But, I mean, so far, do you guys really have any complaints with what we've seen out of Paul Goldschmidt?
No, he's the only one being consistent at the moment, for the most part.
Right. You think about who he replaced and how much more of a net positive it is with, I mean, night and day difference between him and Rizzo. Both sides of the ball.
I hate going back to that all the time, but that's the bar. Don't be the worst for the bar is don't be the worst first baseman in baseball. And so far, I mean, he hasn't been. So yes, it's been a net positive for the Yankees.
Right.
And then obviously, you know, the rice is cooking. Okay. I've been a big proponent of Ben Rice all throughout spring training. I'm not saying I'm the only one. I'm not saying I had it first. Okay. I'm just saying I've been a big proponent of Ben Rice all off season. And he's the guy I wanted to get this job. And, he's been phenomenal so far. I mean, he snapped a 16 2/3 inning scoreless streak the Yankees had in this series with that home run in the sixth or the seventh. I forget when he hit it, but later on in the game yesterday.
I want to say it was the seventh.
In the seventh. But he's been, I mean, what more could you really want out of Ben Rice? He's bulked up all in the offseason. I don't know if you noticed this too. I almost feel like he's opening up a little bit more than he did last year.
He's doing something, man. He has the highest hard hit percentage. Did you see that stat today?
Yeah, I did. He had the best exit velo on the Yankees in spring training, and he's continued that. He's hit a lot of balls hard.
Yeah, 78.6% of balls he's hit hard. Barrel rate of 42.9%.
That he's
That's as of April 5th, though. I don't know. That might be.
That what do you call it? He excuse me, is that he's continued that into the season here, and he's a guy that you want to see continue to get consistent at bats here, because I think it's just going to pay off for him. And what I really liked out of Ben Rice is that he hasn't seemed really overmatched against left-handed pitching, which was one of the things that you kind of feared about him. So I think he's staying in there better against lefties. Maybe that is a little bit of a factor that comes into play with him seemingly. I don't know. Again, like, this is just something that I kind of noticed. It does seem like he is opening up a little bit more, so maybe he's able to get to the lefties better that way. But I mean, so far it's Rice and Goldschmidt. Obviously you got Judge, and then it's like, where are the Yankees going to get continual offense from? Because I've been disappointed in Cody Bellinger. I mean, Jazz has done dick since that opening series. What is
2 for 29, I think it is.
He's on a two. Yeah, I know. It's a massive slump. He's hitting like, what, 170 or something?
Yeah, it's something pretty shitty.
Watch
his strikeout. I never looked that up.
on Dark Comedy. Right now, he's hitting 180.
180. I get, yeah.
And he's so got 21 Ks.
Yeah.
50 at-bats.
That's what scared me about Jazz Chisholm. And I don't think he's going to be this bad all season long. Obviously, he's going to be what he is. But he's, Ryan, does it tell you what his career number is? He's a career, like, 250 hitter, right?
Career, yeah, he's 247.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think he's going to be a guy that hits around 250 again this year. But what we talked about when we were previewing the season is that he's got to be a guy that gets on base more and steals. And, you know, obviously, and swinging, you know, for the fences is not the answer to that. I think Jazz, just with that natural swing of his, being at Yankee Stadium, is going to run into enough home runs. What I was saying, what really concerned me about Jazz, and you saw this in the World Series, is that his swing gets way too long, especially at home. He's got to shorten up, man. He's got to be a guy to make contact, puts the ball in play. But with his speed and athleticism, he's more valuable on the bases than trying to hit home runs for this team.
Well, and on top of all that, right, if you're going to sit there and you're going to jaw the freaking umpire every time you think you have a bad call, you at least need to produce something. Otherwise, you just look like a jackass all the time.
100%. Because
he's always arguing with the umpire at this point, and it seems. And listen, I'm not going to say that he's wrong. I mean, there's been some pretty shitty calls, but he's arguing everything. Every time he strikes out, he's stopping and staring at the umpire or something like that. It's just stop. Get back in the dugout and move on and wait till your next at-bat and actually hit the ball. If you're striking out every time you're up there or at a 50% clip pretty much, there's an issue here. And you have no business arguing anything, and you just look dumb.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North convenience stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth-shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Right.
Well, it's also a level of frustration because he's not producing at the plate and he feels like opportunities are being taken away from him. So he's going to be a little bit more agitated here. And, you know,
yeah, Jazz, but he started like the first, like almost the first game of the season. It's even when he was hitting home runs or whatever, he's just been doing it nonstop.
Macho King's in the chat. What's up, Macho King? And he's right. He's like, Jazz should not be looking to hit home runs. He'll get them, but he could be a guy that with 30 to 40 doubles. And that's the guy. That's the guy the Yankees need. They need when we sat here during the offseason and said that this could be a better offensive team than the one that they had last year. When you factor in that, when you say, you know, you say something like that, it's what Jazz Chisholm being a guy that gets on base and using his speed to create runs. And when he's striking out, trying to hit a home run every time that he's up there, he's not contributing to that. So somebody's got to get with him and just tell him, like, listen, dude, you're a left-handed hitter at Yankee Stadium. You're going to hit 20 home runs on accident. Mm-hmm. We need you to get on base. Stop swinging for defenses all the time.
Yeah, and if you look at his numbers, you break them down, he had more hits in March than he has so far in April. He had 5 hits in March in that 3-game series against Milwaukee. He's only had 4 hits since in 3 series since. So really fallen down quickly here.
Well, again, it's the ebbs and flows of the season. I get all that. And the Yankees were just like,
freezing.
What they did against Milwaukee was just stupid.
Yeah.
But again, when you watch him tomorrow, man. If he's striking out again, I guarantee you it's because his swing is, especially that they're going to be back home and he's going to be feeling pressure to try to kind of get something going again. That swing is going to be. You're going to see it. You're going to see how long that swing is with him loading up and trying to get pull something to get out. It's just, again, and the same thing with Volpe. Volpe's kind of cooled off here, but he's a guy, again, he's got to be a guy that gets on base. Get on base. Find grass. I don't need those two guys to find the seats. I need them to find grass. That's what I need those two guys to do. They're more valuable to me. Yeah. Volpe has the power to go to get 20 home runs. He's already done it in his career. We know he can do it. He's got to steal 40 bags, score 100 runs. That's what's more valuable to the Yankees. They have, I think eventually Cody Bellinger will get it going. Obviously, you got Judge. You got Goldschmidt. Stan's coming back, hopefully around Memorial Day. You have your boppers in this lineup. Wells is another guy I've been disappointed in, but I'll get to him in a second. But I think he'll provide some power as the season moves along here. You got to get these guys have to get on base and create havoc on the base paths, because as you've seen, when the Yankees aren't hitting home runs, they're not winning games. So create runs in other ways. And you finally can look at a Yankee team and say, guys on this team that can create runs with speed and athleticism.
Yeah, it's not a bunch of almost 7-foot behemoths that are can barely round the bases without pulling a calf muscle. You got a bunch of younger guys that should be able to steal bases, manufacture runs, and they're just not hitting. That's what we've been talking about the entire time. People need to produce. It can't just be home run or bust all the time. You need to play some small ball. And, like Jazz and Volpe, I feel like they're just getting up there and they're you watch it and then I get it all like mixed together a lot lately, but I feel like they're almost always swinging at the first pitch. Like, maybe just sit back, relax, try to get a walk. It doesn't always have to be a hit. You're getting on base, you're getting on base. But like the K rate for I almost said the wrong way, Chisholm is a little ridiculous. It's just, I don't know. But what Jazz is doing, he's playing a good second base. That's a big upgrade in itself. So it's like, you can't be extremely mad at him. But, Glaber's bat was a lot better than Chisholm's was.
Well, the problem is that you can't carry him if he's going to – you can't have this guy being this bad in this lineup. The Yankees need to replace a lot of offensive production. And so far, nobody has really stepped into that role. It looked like it. There were guys that were going to step into that role the first week of the season. But then since then, nobody's really taken that step. And again, it's early, but the Yankees almost got swept in Detroit. They lost lost 2 out of 3 to Arizona. They lost, then they lost 3 in a row, nearly 4 in a row. So this is a team that almost fell back to, after starting 6-2, they almost fell back to .500 yesterday. So this is what worries you about them. This is the inconsistencies of this team that, when the number was 89 and I took the under, this is kind of why, because you don't as you could be as hopeful as you want to be, but you got to see it happen first. And so far, we haven't seen it happen. And I think as the season moves along, you're going to get bigger performances out of certain guys, namely Austin Wells. I think right now Wells is just trying to find what his role is on this team, because like I said last week, the Yankees all spring training was like, you're the leadoff hitter. Okay, haha, we were joking. And he hasn't done it since opening day. Yeah. So, you know, the lineup consistency is very important too. Like, give these guys set roles on what they're going to do. If you want Goldschmidt to be the leadoff hitter, then do that. If you want Rice to be the leadoff hitter, then do that. And then let everybody else fall in line. Pick a spot for Aaron Judge. If he's your two hitter or is he your three hitter, and then work everything else around that. Aaron Judge should not be flip-flopping 2-3, 2-3 based on who's pitching. He's your two hitter or he's your three hitter. And you figure it. And you just sit with that and figure out everything else from there. And your 1-6 or 1-7 should not really change on a game-to-game basis. Chemistry in a lineup is a real thing. I know analytic nerds don't think so. Or, you know, like, oh, hot. You know, I think the Yankees, they tell you they don't believe in hot, but then Trent Grisham is playing almost every day. So which one is it? But, you know, there's people out there will tell you that hot isn't really a thing. Well, it is. And so does lineup consistency and chemistry within that lineup, because each guy starts to know what their role is. And I think the Yankees might have affected Austin Wells by telling him, like, oh, you're going to be our leadoff hitter, dude. And we changed their mind. And I think now that Goldschmidt has found his role, it's kind of helped him. And Rice knows that he's going to be playing every day, and that's helped him. But it's kind of left, you know, a guy like Austin Wells in the lurch here. So, you know, and then you got Jason Dominguez, who, you know, it looked like he was coming alive. And then what's he done the last three or four games? And now his average, what is he hitting, like 230 right now? So he's a guy that he's got to be more consistent. And, you know, the good thing about Jason Dominguez, and I'll say this, is that the bat will get there. And I have no doubts that he will hit this year. It's that
he's batting 205.
Jesus, he's batting that low? Christ.
Yeah.
That I think the bat will get there. It's that he's playing a solid left field. And I think that's it's more important right now for him to get comfortable out there.
He looks a lot better in left field. I noticed that the other day since we had our last time we did the show. It looks like night and day. Like, I was complaining about how he's basically jogging to the ball. Now he looks much more comfortable playing it. He's actually running to it, hustling, making some decent plays. Nothing phenomenal yet. But.
Yeah, and he's won for his last 15, dating back to that last game against Pittsburgh. Then he played in two games against Detroit. I'm not going to even measure this team based on that series at Detroit, because it's just that the weather conditions, it's colder than it would be in October when it's, you know, when you're prepping for that type of weather, playing in that type of weather. It was a lot colder than it would even be in October. I can't really measure them based on that. And you got to think how much these numbers get skewed with such a small sample size like this. And there's a lot of offers across the board here in that Detroit series. Great pitching. And it's just, your numbers are going to drop so fast. So one good game and all of these numbers are flipped. So I can't say much about the Tigers series.
I know a lot of people were saying, oh, well, it didn't affect the Tigers. Yeah, the Tigers hit five homers in a game where Cookie Carrasco and Ryan Yarbrough were pitching. Right. There's a little bit of difference than the Yankees going against Tarik Skubal.
Yeah.
And I know last week, in the last episode, we were debating who, because Clark Schmidt, I think somebody in the chat can fact check me. I think he threw four scoreless innings in Somerset tonight. So he's on his way back. He should be penciled in for one of the games against the Royals after they, on this homestand coming up here, after they play the Giants. That I picked Stroman to leave the rotation. And I know Warren didn't pitch well, really overly. He didn't pitch great against Pittsburgh, but he did okay, you know. And then you have Carlos Carrasco, who got his shit rocked against the Tigers. I'd still want Stroman out of the rotation, if we're being honest. But I still would be surprised if it's anything but Warren. Although after the way Carrasco pitched against Detroit, I mean, that's a little concerning there. But again, I just look at the Yankees and what they want to do, and they don't want to lose any depth. And the only way that they can do that is by sending Will Warren down, because either of those other two guys, you know, Carrasco or Stroman's not going to translate to the bullpen, really. And you'd probably have to, I would say you'd have to DFA either one of them anyway, because you need to create the roster spot for Clark Schmidt. So I want to bring up an interesting point. Tell me if either one of you guys agree with this, right? It's maybe you do send, let's say you send Will Warren down, right? Because that's just that's the Yankee thing to do, and it's the easiest thing to do, and he's got options, and he can go down there and work on stuff, blah, 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 right? What if you keep Stroman in the rotation, but he's an opener now?
Well, that would still not go against his line of saying he's a starting pitcher.
The heart of you.
I wouldn't be against it. It's just, you know, they got. If I wouldn't be against it, especially if he continues to pitch like this, you know?
Because it's, think about what where Stroman really struggles. It's that second time through the lineup. He like might be able to,
inning.
You know, he might be able to trick them, you know, one time through, you know, maybe they're seeing what his off speed stuff looks like today, or maybe he might be hitting. It's that second time through where they know that for sure he's got to come over to plate. They can lay off all that stuff. And if you look at who the Yankees have in their bullpen as Yankee fans, we all know that Ryan Yarbrough does a pretty solid job as a bulk guy. So it's, to me, again, it's two junk ballers, really. Two guys that can't break 90 backing up each other. But it limits the risk on Marcus Stroman. And then you can maybe see what you can get out of Yarbrough for, you know, two plus innings. And get in, you know, and then you get to your bullpen.
And not only does it save the risk of Stroman, it's also saving the incentive of his contract, where if he hits a certain amount of innings, he's back.
Oh, there you go. And you also don't want to, you know, the Yankees need him right now,
yeah.
You know, and you don't want, they don't want him now, but they need him. They definitely don't want him next year.
No.
You don't want him to hit that incentive. So, yeah, it would also limit his innings, limit the risk on double limit the risk, limit the risk of him blowing up in a game, and limit the risk of him having to come back next year. I don't like when the Yankees get cute, but we've seen that work in the past. They remember a few years ago, it worked for a while with Chad Green and Nestor Cortez.
Hmm. Yeah.
So maybe, but again, you had Chad Green coming in and throwing BBs, and then Nestor Cortez with the soft stuff. So
right,
maybe
it was a nice compliment.
It was a nice compliment to each other. So maybe it's a little bit different with two guys that, you know, don't throw hard. But
yeah.
I don't hate it honestly. If I got to keep Stroman in the rotation, and I hate when the Yankees get cute, but this is something that if I'm Aaron Boone, I'm thinking about, to be honest with you.
I forgot Yarbrough was a big bulk guy for the Rays after that opener. They were a good 1-2 punch, whoever he was paired
with. I hated Ryan Yarbrough, yeah. Yarbrough, because the Yankees never hit him. It's like this guy's throwing 88 mile an hour junk out there. Like that's his fastball tops out at 88, and the Yankees could never friggin' touch this guy.
Yeah.
So I don't know. We'll see what happens there. But Clark Schmidt is due back soon for the Yankees. That is a welcomed addition to this rotation, because when we hit spring training, I don't know if you guys did, I thought we had the best rotation in the American League. Now we went from the best rotation in the American League to Max Fried and Pray for Rain.
Yeah, what are they at? The highest... most runs allowed in the American League, right up there. Runs allowed, 59. Red Sox actually have more at 62, but they've actually played two more games.
I think we all know what Will Warren, Carlos Carrasco, and Marcus Stroman are. Especially the latter two. I think Will Warren is going to end up being a very serviceable, at the worst, major league pitcher. He's still young and he's still learning. And I've seen it through spring training and his couple of starts here. You can see the stuff is evolving and getting better. But you know what he is at this point in his career. What I'm really disappointed in, and I know I didn't want to be negative all show, but it just seems like where this is going right now. But we're going to get positive in a minute. Okay. What I'm really disappointed in is fucking Carlos Rodon, man. This was his season to step up, and he's yet to do it. We came on here after opening day, Rye, you were with me, and I was very happy with Carlos Rodon. And then since then, it's the same Jekyll and Hyde act that he's pulled for 3 years with the Yankees. And it's, I'm over it, man. And you know, he is, needs to be the number two on this rotation, and it can't be by default either. He's got to step up and be that guy. The Yankees can't go through the rest of the season with Max Fried and no hope, because I think that Clark Schmidt coming back is going to help out. But he's all, and I love Clark Schmidt, but he's also a guy that's been injury prone so far. So I got, again, I got to see him make it through the rest of the season. Same thing with Luis Gil, but we're still months away from even discussing Luis Gil. This guy has to step up right now. He's got to be. Now, we were hoping he was here to be Robin to Gerrit Cole's Batman. Now he's got to be Robin to Max Fried's Batman. Like, you got to do this for us, dude. Like, you can't sit there and just be this guy that I don't know from start to inning to inning whether or not you're going to be a guy that earned a nine-figure contract or is just going to puke all over himself like some teenage drunk at a party. I cannot have another season like this from Carlos Rodon. And I know people think he had a good season last year because his ERA was under four. It was barely under four, and that's not what we're paying for. That's not who the Yankees signed. That's not what we wanted out of Carlos Rodon. And this is the year where now you don't have Gerrit Cole. This is the year he's got to be that guy. Do it for us this year, and I will forgive anything you've done in the past or anything that you do in the future. Gerrit Cole's not here. Somebody's got to take the mantle of being the ace. And after yesterday, that's Max Fried. Now be the guy to back up Max Fried. And you haven't done it so far. And all three, but it's a pattern of behavior with Carlos Rodon. And that's what scares me. If he had come out here with three excellent starts, now I'm feeling really good about Carlos Rodon. The beard, he's looking like a badass out here. You know, he's finally relishing this role and stepping up and taking over. But he hasn't done it since opening day. And this team desperately needs innings. This team desperately needs quality starts. And I think, oh, he threw 103 pitches. He got deep into the game. Great. He put the Yankees in a 4-0 hole. That's not what I need out of my number two. That's not out of what I need out of a guy that this team desperately needs to step up and assume the mantle of being an ace on this team.
It seems like, I don't know, correct me if I'm wrong here, what you think, but I feel like Rodon goes out, he'll have a good first inning, and then, you know, you're like, all right, he's looking good. Then he goes over, he completely melts, you know, second, third inning, he puts the Yankees in a hole, and then all of a sudden, after he does that, he settles in, and then he starts pitching good, and then he stays in there, and then you got to see who else comes in, whatever, whatnot, but he's putting them in a hole from the get-go, and it changes the whole aspect of the game at that point, because when you're playing from behind, it's a lot harder to catch up and then to take the lead, you know what I'm saying? And then it's hard enough. I mean, he came out the other day, I thought he was a lunatic. They're changing the time of the game, it's windy as shit out, he shows up in just his jersey, no shirt underneath, none of that shit, you know. I don't know if it's he's trying to act like an animal or something like that, and then all of a sudden you just look like shit. Maybe if you're a little bit warm.
He eventually put sleeves on too, I want to say.
Yeah, it looks gimmicky, especially after that, the blow up he had in the playoffs when he was screaming coming off the mound. Now you're going to come out there and you're like not wearing your I'm tough guy, I could brave the cold. Yeah, well, look what you just did, asshole. Maybe if you're a little bit warm, you could grip the ball a little bit better.
Possibly. Gimmicky is a great word to describe him, and I hate that. He's one giant gimmick. So far, and he's the biggest disappointment of the year for sure. I mean, the pattern of behavior, that's a great point there. It's just you don't know what you're going to get. And then when you do get what you get, it's what Sam just said. It's a guy who loses it early and then maybe finds it. But by then it's like, you're the 1B, dude. You've already failed.
Go
ahead.
He's nothing what we thought he was when we signed him. We were all stoked, and we were like, ah! And then he's been nothing but a problem since he's really been here. You know what I'm saying? Like, sure, he has some good outings, but, like, I feel he's not coming out, and you're not enthusiastic. You're not
confident.
Not confident. Yeah, there's no confidence in him.
Yeah.
Yes.
No, you should see his name and say, all right, we're winning today.
Yeah, I shouldn't want to take a Xanax when I see him go up there because I don't know what I'm going to get. Is this going to be a good game? Is this going to be... And then you're almost surprised when he puts together a good game. I think we were more surprised on opening day that he had a pretty good game opposed to, you know what I'm saying? And that's not what we should be thinking about on a pitcher that's making that kind of money. You should be surprised when he has a shit game, but that's not what happens.
I liken it to when Gerrit Cole gives up a run and I feel like somebody punched me in the stomach. Like, you just, because you expect that level of greatness out of him. And now I think I'm going to develop that feeling for Max Fried. When he gives up a run, it's going to feel like somebody punches me in the stomach. But I just feel like I get punched in the stomach watching this guy pitch. Like, seeing him on the mound feels like somebody punched me in the stomach. I shouldn't have that feeling for Carlos Rodon. I want to love this guy. I really do. But like you said, the start against the Royals, this guy is like, yeah, guns blazing, fuck you guys. And then what? It's like, you know, the two-pump chump, and then he was done after that, right? And then that's what about opening day. He kept his emotions in check. He got deep into the game. He had a good start. So maybe it's a different Carlos Rodon, but it's not. He's just this generation's AJ Burnett. He's a right-handed AJ Burnett, where you know the stuff is there to dominate on any given day, but most days you're going to wind up with a four-run, six-inning performance where he'll rack up some strikeouts because his stuff is that good. But he's just not that good himself. But you know what? You know what AJ Burnett did that? You know, I have a higher affinity for him. He showed up in the World Series. He showed up in the World Series for the Yankees. He had some really big games in that postseason run for the Yankees. You know, so. Oh, Crackle Nuts is back with the Chuck Norris jokes. Apparently, I drink water from shot glasses now.
Crackle Nuts.
Don't make me laugh. I've had a cold all week and my lips are so chapped they're going to crack.
Crackle Nuts.
Yeah, there you go. I love you guys so much. All and right. if you're just joining us right now, please, at the top of the chat here, it's pinned. Subscribe to the show on the NYY. Subscribe to the NYYST podcast on Apple Podcasts. We will not be back on NYYU until April 24th, but we will be recording in between. So if you subscribe to Apple Podcasts, you will not miss any of the shows in between our appearances here on NYYU. So, but I said, you wanted some positivity here before we close out the show with some negativity, although I'm not going to be uber negative. Max Fried, man, that's my dude now. After yesterday, Max Fried, that's my dude.
That was impressive yesterday. He opened up some eyes.
Did you watch the very beginning of the game?
I did not get home until this.
Did you look up? I told you he threw like this nasty curveball in the first inning, and it was absolutely filthy, dirty, disgusting, and it just made me hard.
Hey, Moises, go fuck yourself, bro. How about
thinking
that?
About it. Was someone in the chat getting you?
Yeah,
up?
So, yeah, yeah. You know, he doesn't like Moises. The show, so you can go fuck yourself. How about that?
Yeah, just go don't watch it, dude. Yourself. I don't like if you don't like a show.
You don't have to watch it, bro. I mean, we're here having a good time talking Yankee baseball. If that upsets you, then I don't know what to tell you here. I didn't want, you know.
Sorry, Moises.
Crackle Nuts is enjoying himself just like I enjoy Doritos in the library, apparently. No, I didn't go back and watch the highlights. I forgot when I got home exactly. Fried was still in the game because I saw his last inning, so I might have gotten home in the top of the sixth.
But yeah, he was throwing some nasty pitches.
From what I saw from him, and you know, this is the first series because I've been home pretty much to watch every game. I had to rely on the radio a lot this past week. Dave Sims is, I don't think, he's obviously not John Sterling, but it's taken some getting used to hearing a different voice with Susan.
Yeah, I've loved what I've heard from him so far because I have been listening to more games and watching, honestly, at this point, and he's been fucking great.
Moises, why are you still here, bro? That's what I want to know. Why are you still here?
Oh, he's saying Pete could do better. So what does that mean? Is he saying that Pete sucks?
He loves the channel, but the guy that owns the channel apparently isn't that good either.
I mean,
like, what a dickbag.
Let him have the show. Put him on.
Oh, I'm sorry that I'm not reading from a stat sheet here. That's not what this show is about. This is not. It's never what this show has been about in the 8 years that we've been doing the show.
Oh, man.
Crackle nuts. I don't honk the horn the second that it turns green. I count. I'm
yes,
I count,
he does.
No, I don't. I count three.
Yes, he does.
I count three, then I honk.
Christian just drives and then he jerks the wheel back over to the side to get back in the lane constantly. That's he's that guy.
Absolutely not. I give a three count grace period and then I honk. What were we saying about? Oh no, Matt, we were talking about Max Fried. Look, man, this is what you love about Max Fried right here. The Yankees were on a losing streak. They needed to get out of Detroit with a win. Now, obviously, what the offense does is not under any of his control. But Max Fried took the mound yesterday and told the New York Yankees that if we lose this game today, it won't be because of me. That is exactly what you want out of a guy that you just paid $218 million to. That is exactly what you want out of a guy that is stepping up to be your ace this season. That's exactly what this fan base wanted to see out of somebody this season. So Max Fried is okay with me right now, man. And I wasn't, I know people were trying to get worried about Max Fried. Like we were out there, we saw his first start. It was a little uneven. He didn't have the control. He was much better against Pittsburgh. But if Yankee fans were waiting to see what they spent $218 million on, that's it. That's the guy. He was on the mound in Detroit yesterday.
Yeah, you know what else I've loved so far from him is his accountability. I think it was against Milwaukee, right? His first start, they scored a lot of runs, but he didn't make it out of the fifth. It was against Milwaukee, right?
Yeah, he didn't make it. But you know,
what does he say? What does he say afterwards? Because then you saw it the next day with Marcus Stroman, and Stroman was kind of you read his demeanor was a little kind of ticked off that he wasn't able to close it out or get that fifth inning, you know, to be eligible for the win. What does Fried say in his post game presser? I didn't deserve to get a win there. Like, take me out. I did not deserve to get there. Like, that kind of shit goes a long way when you're pitching in New York. And he's got big shoes to fill. I think the injury to Gerrit Cole has certainly alleviated. So it's almost it's a two-sided coin, because in one way it has alleviated pressure because it's, you know, you have to step up and take over. But then you also have to realize that, you know, Gerrit Cole is one of those irreplaceable guys. We do have a super chat in here. You want me to read it out? Because it does kind of mention me. It's from our boy, Rob.
It's your super chat. Go ahead.
SGR, welcome back. I think the best way to describe Rodon is inconsistent. In his 3 years, I can't pinpoint one start that was memorable to me. Can you guys remember one Yankee moment from Rodon? Yeah, that first inning against the Royals in the playoffs.
He's had a lot of memorable
bad
starts, and they're all bad ones. Yeah.
Yeah, then the Royals start to end the year. I think it was against the Royals 2 years ago.
Yeah, when he had that was just a disaster of a
season. That's memorable.
I think he faced eight batters, didn't get an out.
Yeah, I can't really think of any moment where I felt. You know what? I guess his best moment was his start after the bad start against Kansas City, when he kind of came back and was calm and cool and collected a bit. That was
it all hasn't been bad with Rodon. Like, the problem is that he's not lived up to the expectations that we've had for him here, and especially so far this year. And I get it, it's three starts, but the team has 60% of this rotation on the IL. You're filling it with guys that cannot get deep into games, who you're really not expecting any type of quality outings from. And he is a veteran that is being paid a lot of money, and he's just not come. He's just not risen to the occasion so far. Can things change? Yeah, maybe. I'm not saying that they can, but based on his track record here, I don't have the highest of hopes for it.
I mean, the guy cries in the dugout and his wife sends me mean tweets. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I don't really know what the hell to expect from him anymore.
Yeah, Pete's right. He was really good in the ALCS last year. So, I mean, like, it's not all bad with him. It's just you remember he blows up in spectacular fashion. That's what the problem is for him. It's like
his wife sends mean tweets.
Yeah,
and then she, you know, and then
she
compounds the issue. She's on social media after the games, and then it's just like he just becomes an easy target. Like I'm not sitting here rooting against Carlos Rodon. It's just stupid. I want the guy to be dominant every time he takes the mound.
You're just expressing your frustration.
Oh, right. Crackle Nuts wants to know Nestor or Rodon. I have to choose. I have to take Carlos Rodon, right?
To same contracts.
No, I guess just if I had to pick one to be on the team this year.
Well, Nestor's on the Nestor though. But, oh, is he on the IL?
He's got the flexor thing again.
He had a good start too. He bounced.
Yeah, good start, and right after that, he got hurt.
That sucks.
During that, yeah.
So I was about to say he does throw a lot of innings, so and they kind of need that in a way.
And he gets hurt every year.
Yeah, he gets hurt every year.
That's a that's why like we're gonna get to Devin Williams in a couple minutes here, but that's why the Yankees had to trade Nestor Cortez, man. I think they milked every last drop out of him. Oh, Yankee Legends wants to know Willie Calhoun or Jake Bowers. I mean, you got Jake Bowers?
Jake Bowers.
Off a bridge an option?
At least right, at least you know Jake Bowers can go out there and toss you a couple scoreless innings if you need
it. That's true.
Okay. Yeah. Is it Trevor Bowers? Okay. No? Okay.
Willie.
Go ahead.
But Max, going back to Max Fried yesterday, that was a big boy performance yesterday. That is exactly what CeCe Sabathia used to do for the New York Yankees. Team's on a losing streak. Somebody's got to go out there and snap it. And CeCe would take that mound and say, nah, not on my watch, guys. Somebody just do something. I got the rest. And the rice was cooking yesterday. And that was all, that's all the Yankees really needed for eight innings. And then, obviously Devin Williams took the mound and things got a little hairy there at the end. But
I see.
It's early on in the season, but that could be a career. Is this a little bit of hyperbole maybe? But that could be a career defining moment as a Yankee for Max Fried yesterday.
Yeah, think about that was a great comparison with CeCe. I mean, think about what his role is going to take. He's not just a pitcher. He's not the number two. He's the ace. That is, it's more than just winning games. It's those moments where you're cutting a losing streak, where you're picking your guys up, and he did all of that in his last start. So that's what an ace does. He's filling that role very nicely. After that one, I expect a lot of good things from him.
And he's going to be relied on. He's going to be looked at to be the ace this year. And, Gerrit Cole's my guy, but he's also going to probably be relied on, be looked at to, I'm getting tongue twisted here. He's also going to be looked at as the ace next year because, Cole's got to work himself back. Once he's back, I think he's going to be fine, but he's probably not going to be ready for the start of the season. It's going to take him a little bit to get going. And the Yankees are going to say, hey, Max, this is going to be your team, and then what? Cole's got only a couple more years left on that contract where Fried's probably going to, Fried's going to be here another 6 years. This is going to be Max Fried's rotation. It's almost like a changing of the guard here, especially with this Tommy John surgery that Gerrit Cole had. So,
You just really hope that we see a good chunk of those two leading this rotation because it's kind of reminding me a bit of, I believe it was like how Judge and Stanton were never healthy at the same time together, right?
Yeah, that's true.
A few years ago. So you hope that they could just get it together and be in that rotation together and really be a solid 1-2 punch because it doesn't get any better than that.
I think post All-Star break next year, it could be a lot of fun watching those two pitch back to back. Who knows if that's how it'll line up, but if you get a series where maybe it does line up where you see those two back to back, especially when Cole is feeling healthy again and Max Fried, that's going to be a lot of fun there. That's the Yankee, that's what we've been waiting for. We've been waiting for this for so long, where we can send two or three guys out in a series, and you know that just based on pitching, you're winning the series. Like, you looked at the pitches the Tigers were throwing, especially versus what we were throwing, but like, I could see how this series is going to get a little tricky for the Yankees. And we've been waiting for that to happen, and we've never really had it. It's supposed to, you know, Cole and Seve never rode together. Cole and Rodon never really rode together. And now Cole and Fried are not riding together. So it's like, hopefully at some point next year we do get that. And again, when you start off with a new team with high expectations on a large contract, it might be a cold afternoon on a Wednesday in April that sets you up for success for the next 8 years. Because if you went out there and got bombed yesterday and the Yankees have lost four in a row and then coming home 6-6 after being 6-2, you're feeling a lot different about this team. You're feeling a lot different about Max Fried. But now he went out there, 11 Ks, absolute pure filth on that mound. And he told the Yankees, I got you guys. I got this. Don't worry about it. And now you're feeling a lot better about the Yankees every fifth day when Max Fried takes the mound. So that was a big boy performance from Max Fried yesterday. And again, I don't want to say that it was a career defining one, but maybe it is, man. Maybe that's what sets him apart from all these other free agent pitchers. Really, out, if you really look at it, out of all these big money contracts that the Yankees have handed out in the last 15 years to starting pitchers, and there's been a lot of them, it's CeCe Sabathia and Gerrit Cole that have really lived up to the expectations. Now, after yesterday, can you say that Max Fried is going to be that guy? Because if he went out there and was knocked down in the fifth inning and gave up three runs and the Yankees lose, what are you feeling about him today?
You feel like you do with Rodon. You know, with the way he pitched, you're going to have confidence when he gets out onto the mound. You know what he's capable of. It's going to be exciting to watch. It's not going to be dreadful. You're not going to, you know, sit there and be biting your nails throughout the entire time. And it doesn't even raise the question of having an opener for Max Fried or something like that. You know he's going to go out, and you hope every outing is somewhat close to what he just did yesterday.
Cracklenut says that I count the blueberries in my muffin. I do that, man. I don't like it. You guys get like getting chipped on your blueberries?
Christian eats the Snickers upside down, so it feels like veins on his tongue.
Okay, you know. You understand that.
I think they got rid of the veins. I've heard rumors.
Okay. Oh, there's...
So Christian stopped eating Snickers.
There's certain things that we don't say on here, okay?
I didn't say anything bad. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, okay. And then Crackle Nut says Tanaka lived up to it. And here's my thing with Tanaka. I love Tanaka. I'm so upset that he did not get a ring here. I'm so upset that everybody hasn't gotten a ring here since 2009. But Tanaka was my dude. But after that injury, what was it, 2015? Was he a rookie? Did he come over here in 2015?
Yeah, something like that.
After that injury, it was against Cleveland, right? He was never really the same guy. He was really good. He had a lot of big game performances, but he was just never the ace.
Yeah, it was 2014 he came.
Oh, it was 2014. I couldn't. So he played with Jeter? I didn't remember. Yeah. Jeter.
Okay. Came in fifth rookie of the year. Okay.
Yeah, that's what sucked with him, because he came out so electric. Like, he was I was actually talking to somebody today about that, how he's very memorable in that I would always have to watch his starts. He was like a true artist out there his first year with that splitter. And I really think that that splitter that he threw, because he was one of the first ones that threw that splitter with a bit more velocity. I think he topped out at like 89, 90 miles per hour with that. And now you're seeing that pitch has now developed into like you're seeing more of that sinker. It's these hard throwers that are their off speed is just a 94 mile per hour sinker. And that's just, man, his splitter was, there was nothing better than a Tanaka split.
Yeah, I love Tanaka, man. And I'm just saying, yeah, and I guess you could say he did live up to it, because you can't say that you were really disappointed with him. But after that injury, he was just not that guy. He was just not, he got himself down to where he was like a two. but a very good two, and a guy that always, and like Chris Perez said in the chat here, he showed up in the postseason.
Big
and
time.
I think, you know, we hold him in a higher regard because of that.
Yeah.
And I think it was Scott Wright, Scott Wright said it, that, you know, the thing about Max Fried is, you know, he's not going to be scared because the Atlanta Braves,
good points in there.
You know, the Atlanta Braves have been good for pretty much the entirety of Max Fried's career. He's got a ring already. So the moment's not going to be too much for Max Fried. And that's, you know, and that was a moment yesterday that if you look back in 8 years and say Max Fried was worth every penny, that's when it was born right there. Mm. So now the Yankees made two really big pitching acquisitions in the offseason. Max Fried, who right now we all love Max Fried, right? And another guy here in Devin Williams, who it's a little sketchy right now with Devin Williams. Now, there's a couple things here at play. I do not crackle nuts. I love you. I do not put pineapple on pizza. Okay. I don't, just we're drawing the line here, pal.
All right. Yeah.
But if you look at Devin Williams' career, his highest ERA by month by a lot is March/April. By a lot. So again, I said this, I made a video yesterday about it. How much did we really watch Devin Williams in Milwaukee? Let's be honest here. Who's watching a lot of Brewer baseball?
I didn't really catch a lot of Brewer baseball in the last couple of years.
Okay. So again, what's that ERA really mean? A lot of Brewer fans said that he's a roller coaster ride. He gets the job done, but he'll make you sweat it out. So it's like he kind of fits into what we've been dealing with for the last decade plus here. But is he going through these early season struggles that he kind of historically has? It's possible. Like I said, the early season ERA, the March/April ERA, is his highest by month in his career.
Yeah, and I'll point that out now because it's a 3.86 ERA in April or March. Then it drops to a 2.51 in May, to a 1.65 June, 0.87 July, 1.55 August, 1.89 September, October.
So and this is something that I pointed out yesterday when I made my video. He's had a lot of inconsistency in terms of work so far this year. He's pitched four times in 12. They played 12 games. Pitched four times in 12 games. Okay. He left to go on paternity leave. He just had a kid, right? So there's been a lot of starts and stops in the season here. I need to see him in the flow of the season to get into a good rhythm here. If he's still like this when he's getting consistent work, pitching two, three, four times a week like a closer does, and this is going on into May, Memorial Day. Okay, this is, you love what I don't know.
I'm just, you love SGR hot. Turned 18, his parents moved out.
That's true, though. I can verify that.
It is true. I don't know how he knew that. SGR is the only guy who can strangle you with a cordless phone. Nice. And SGR loves hot chocolate in the month of August. I do.
You do. Okay. Do. You do. Do. Okay.
I do. A cocoa marshmallow.
So if we're looking at it now where it's Memorial Day and he's still having these rough outings, okay, now what do you want to talk about here?
Yeah, concern, Luke Weaver.
But after four outings, are you have any level of concern for Devin Williams right now? Because after Sunday, people were ready to throw him off the bus. They didn't want him to get back on the bus to go to Detroit. After Sunday.
We all have PTSD from Clay Holmes. And so far, Devin Williams done the same exact thing to us that Clay Holmes did to us.
It's four
it's
years,
easy to overreact.
Four games, though.
Yeah. It still gives you anxiety.
It does, and it does make you almost see a bad future in a way. But as far as the current, you know, way of things are going, you have to give him the benefit of the doubt based on his career numbers. His career numbers are phenomenal. He has a lifetime ERA under two. So I'm definitely going to give him the benefit of the doubt for now. He hasn't seen a lot. He's on a new team. You know, whole different ball game here in the American League East. So let's ease off for now. He's a career guy who struggles out of the gate. I think he needs more time. Now, here's the pessimist in me, though, is that his stuff in a big game type of scenario, his stuff, if he doesn't have it, he can't turn into a thrower like Aroldis Chapman when, you know, he would make us sweat, but then he always had in his back pocket that he threw over 100 miles per hour. So even on those days when he didn't have it, he was still able to throw the ball and get guys out. Where Devin Williams, when he doesn't have it, his stuff, it does play a little bit scary, where that changeup isn't hitting the zone, and when it does, it's up in the zone, and his fastball isn't fast enough. So I get that there is a bit of a concern in a way, but that's only if you're looking into the future of, like, if he continues on this trajectory, then yes, that's obviously a cause for concern. But when you look at the factor of who they got rid of to get him, you wouldn't pass up on that ever. Absolutely, you would never not. You would never not get rid of Nestor Cortes for Devin Williams. It's just 10 times out of 10 you're making that move. So when you put that into perspective with the idea that this is a guy who was traded here and that it takes time to get used to and accustomed to a new team, a new setting, everything. And it's the Yankees. He's not playing for a small market team like Milwaukee. And was he ever really in a big spotlight in Milwaukee? Because you remember Josh Hader was there. He left somewhat on bad terms. They sort of were fine with it because they knew what they had in Devin Williams. But when you're playing in Milwaukee, it's like the story there for Devin Williams when he was really up and coming was Josh Hader is no longer the closer of the Brewers. The story was more the Brewers sold on a guy when they're in a playoff run. It never really was Devin Williams in the spotlight, and probably because of how great he's always been. But give him the benefit of the doubt, man. His career numbers are just way too good to be concerned over how he's looked in the first month on a new team.
Well, here's something that you brought up. Has he ever really been on that big spotlight with the Brewers? And this
he has. It's been bad.
Well, this is what I want to talk about.
He gave up the game-winning hit, right?
Right.
Well, that knocked him out of the playoffs last year.
Yeah. Well, this is what I'm going to bring up here. This is, again, I said this. Be honest here. How much Brewer baseball did you all watch last year? Or at any point, that Devin Williams was their closer? Okay,
just that game against the Mets.
Exactly. The most Brewer baseball any Yankee fan watched was that wild card series against the Mets last year. Okay, so Yankee fans, the lasting memory you have of Devin Williams as the Brewer closer, he gave up a game-breaking home run where he blew Game 3 of that wild card series to Pete Alonso in the ninth inning. That's your memory of Devin Williams as the Brewer closer. Then he comes here, and he can't get anybody out. So this is why Yankee fans have zero patience for him. And here's another thing that nobody wants to bring up, but it is playing into why Yankee fans have zero patience for him. This whole beard policy is because of Devin Williams, okay? It has nothing to – the Yankees can say, oh, we've been thinking about it. Yeah, it's not a mere coincidence that this guy was pouting about having to shave and then now all of a sudden we changed a 50-year-old beard policy once he's here, which
well,
I always –
he said that – he said he would take that into consideration when signing with a team if he'd have a beard or not.
Great. Well, the way you're pitching, bro, I don't think we're going to take any consideration for you next year. But so – home run to Pete Alonso, four terrible outings, beard policy. So you you can understand why some Yankee fans are ready to get rid of this guy. Me? I'm not one of them. It's four outings. We're going to get rid of somebody after four outings? And here's another one. We all love Luke Weaver.
Yeah.
You kick Luke Weaver to the curb for this guy. You kick the beard policy to the curb for this guy. You all hate the Mets. He gives up a home run to send to the Mets to the friggin' to the next round. It's a lot of dominoes falling against Devin Williams right here. But if he pitches well, nobody cares about any of that. But guess what? He's not pitching well. So now this is all coming into play here. But everybody's just got to take a chill pill on this one, man. Let this guy get into the flow of the season. Am I wrong in asking for him to get a rhythm going like a closer does where he has three save opportunities in a week? Scott Wright said that it was seven days in between his first appearance and his second appearance, and then he went on the paternity list.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how pitchers like him are guys that thrive off the work, off the consistency, and it just hasn't been there yet this year. And I get you're going to be mad about some of those things. Oh, I remember the home run he gave up to Pete. Oh, I remember George's haunting Hal now for this beard policy. He's like, Hal, you ruined my beard policy.
Who is that? Who's saying that? I shouldn't have done that, Dad.
And now you know what, too? That last start, that last opportunity for him, it wasn't even a save opportunity. And you've seen that a lot with closers. When they come into a ball game and it's not a true save opportunity, they aren't really the same. You saw that a lot with Mariano.
A lot of closers are like that, yeah, man. It's just and I think he did have a save op. It technically was a save opportunity on opening day. It was 4-1, or was it 4-0? I don't remember. I got to look at the box score. But again, it wasn't like your nuts are on the line in that situation. It's not like he's coming into a pressure-packed one-run game, you know. So we've really yet to see him in that real. Well, I guess you could say Sunday, but you know, man, I hate holding anything against anybody with the fucking ghost runner, man.
Right.
Yeah.
100%. Because that's not a rule, right, in the postseason?
No, it's not.
No. So that's like, it's not postseason baseball. The same way with this weather, it's not postseason weather. Like, it's cold, sure, but I don't think it really gets like it was in Detroit.
But again, even if it is cold in October, you've been playing baseball for six months, so your body's broken in at that point. Right. These guys have played 10, 11 games.
Great point. And right out of Florida.
Yeah, right out of Florida into freezing-ass cold temperatures where, like, you've already had, you know, September temperatures start to dip, so your body is also gradually adjusting to it. So, you know.
He did get the save in that opening day game.
Right, so it was 4-1. I couldn't remember.
Yeah. Final score is 4-2.
You know, Crackle Nuts, you're right, bro. I don't go outside if I see the mailman. It's because I hate small talk, and if you see the mailman, you got to do a little stop and chat, and I don't like those.
Yeah. I'm in agreement with you there.
You're a stop and chat guy?
No, I'm in agreement with you. I don't like that. I avoid.
See, I travel a lot, so I see a lot of different people, and it's like I hate small talk. Like, I'm here to conduct a business. I'm not here to, you know, I'm like, oh, it's raining out. No shit, Sherlock. Like, we don't have to have a conversation about it. Or like, I always wear a Yankee hat. I'm like, oh, the Yankees. Yeah, no shit, dummy. Like, I know. We don't have to have like baseline knowledge talk of like, oh, Aaron Judge hit a home run last night. Duh. Like,
Rock calls him now the game bender. I like that. Which I'm kind of pissed off though. Yes Network totally stole. Who made
Francis.
That graphic?
That was Francis. Yeah,
that's like, I feel like he could like, oh, you can't really sue because he kind of took it, I guess, from Avatar. But like, geez, man, they totally stole that idea from him.
Absolutely.
That was ridiculous. No way do they get there without him and then Devin Williams making that his profile picture. Like, come on.
So the fan, we ran a poll on at NYY underscore podcast on X to just to gauge the fans on if they're officially worried about Devin Williams, and 66% said no.
Good. All right, it should be higher though.
Again, I don't know what are we really worried about? Are we really worried he can't do it here?
You know what too is playing a part? How great Luke Weaver looked last year.
And I mentioned that, man. We're like, we all love Luke Weaver. He did an excellent job closing. And it's like he was the girlfriend after the toxic bitch that almost made you want to put your, you know, do bad things to yourself. Like, he was the one that came and saved your life, yeah, after like, that.
Everything's going to be okay.
Yeah, he was, you know, it's like, oh, this is what love is really like.
You saved my life.
Yeah. Right. This is what it's like to be loved.
Yeah.
And then now we kicked him to the curb for this guy. So, yeah, that is, you know, possibly playing a role in all this. But, again, I don't know. I can't get there right now. I mean, if he goes out there and shits the bed tomorrow, you know, watch out for a video on Saturday morning. But I'm saying right now, man, I just can't get – I just personally can't get there. And I know people that were there on Sunday. I don't know, man. I'm giving him at least to the end of the month here to just try to get into a rhythm of the season right now. But you heard that though before the, right as the final pitch was thrown, you heard that in Detroit, right?
What?
That was plop plop. Those big lighter bowls.
Hell yeah!
Oh,
I forgot. Lighters really. I've really turned a corner with my views on it. It was a quick 180 after that postseason because he was off to a as bad a start. I don't think I hated someone as fast as I hated Mark Leiter Jr. And now it's just a complete 180, man. I almost get kind of pumped up when he comes in to pitch.
I hate that thing he's got growing on his face. I want them to bring back the facial hair policy just so he can get rid. He has to get rid of that stupid ass thing.
Yeah, but maybe they could pick and choose who can do it.
You know, for your big quote trade acquisition at the trade deadline to bomb basically as hard as he did in the regular season to be left off the postseason roster until Ian Hamilton got hurt in the ALCS, and then he got some really big outs along the way there. And then, you know, I know he gave up the grand slam against Arizona there that lost the Yankees that game, that first game in that series. But he's a guy that I have a level of trust in. I'm not going to say it's a high level of trust, but I have a level of trust in Mark Leiter Jr. that I didn't think I'd ever have with him. But is he in the circle of trust?
Mm.
Is he circle of trust adjacent?
Yeah, he's adjacent.
So, the Yankees are returning back to Crackle Nuts. He must have a. I'm not even bullshitting you. I do sweep snow. I do.
I had a feeling when I read that one. I'm like, you know what? That one might be true.
I sweep snow. I do because I get, there's an actual reason that I do it because I have a bad back. But I don't pick up a shovel anymore. Off the steps. Let's go.
I hear you.
But the Yankees are returning to normalcy here. I think they have a weird start time on Saturday. But the Yankees are back in the Bronx here for three games against San Francisco. 7:05 Friday night. When Robbie Ray against Marcus Stroman, and these pitching matchups are really not in Yankees' favor either. Then 3:05 on Saturday with Jordan Hicks against Will Warren, and then Sunday at 1:35 where Logan Webb faces Carlos Rodon. So I mean, this is not good.
Yeah, I mean, especially with the Giants. I mean, they're off to a great start, 9-3, right?
Yeah, and look at the pitchers that they're throwing and look at what the Yankees are throwing here. But
yeah, and their pitchers are starting, those guys are starting to come around for them, like Logan Webb.
Logan Webb, 189 so far this year. Jordan Hicks, 238 so far this year. And then Robbie Ray tomorrow, 318. Right. That's the worst of the group here. Against Stroman, 727. Will Warren, 6-flat. And Rodon, 519.
Oh, boy.
But that's baseball, Susan. Yankees.
Scott Wright saying in the chat, San Fran has the second best ERA in Major League Baseball. Yeah.
You got to get the torpedo bats going.
Yeah, get those torpedoes.
It's going to be raining tomorrow and Saturday.
Yeah, I don't know if they're going to get it in tomorrow.
My wife told me that it was going to rain tomorrow. I was so pissed because like I haven't sat down and watched the game since Sunday. And it's just like you wait so long for baseball to come back and you yourself as a fan is just trying to start it and get into the rhythm of watching baseball every day. And then they jack these three games up to the middle of the day because of the weather. And you have other responsibilities that you have to take care of where you're catching like a couple innings here, a couple innings there if you're lucky. Where you're basically relying on the radio and apps to get you through the games here, but and then like it's gonna rain. Great. Now I'm gonna miss the game.
Tomorrow 0.17 inches of rain, and then Saturday's 1/2 inch of rain.
But Sunday's supposed to be pretty nice.
Sunday's supposed to just be like a shitty day, but it's not supposed to rain.
So
it's overcast.
Okay, overcast. Weather sem. Weather on the ones by
Yeah, dude.
The moon face is a waning gibbous.
All right. Nice.
Wherever that means.
That means it's time to end the show. So if you haven't done so already and you've been in the chat all night tonight, we want to thank you for being here with us live on NYYU. Subscribe to NYY Underground. And Jira just posted in the chat. Join NYYU for our first annual softball charity game. The link is there. All the information is there. We'd love to see you out there on May 10th. also, please, I've been stressing it. This is the third time I'm bringing it up. You guys might be tired of hearing it, but I'm going to say it again. We will not be on NYY Underground again until April 24th, but there will be shows in between. Please subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts. The link is pinned to the top of the of the chat here tonight. We don't want you to miss any episodes. We've been here for years, and I cannot understand for the life of me how people don't understand that we record audio-only shows. There'll be people I'll meet out at these events and like, well, I haven't heard you in 3 weeks. I was like, we're on Apple every week, sometimes twice. So please, yeah, we love being on NYY Underground, but you know, with the season back and you know, other, you know, game season live and other shows, everybody's got to take a turn here. And but we're not we're personally going to be there every week. So please subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts. Leave us a 5-star rating and review. And while you're there, tell everybody NYYST is the official Yankee podcast of Odyssey. We want to thank everybody for joining us here tonight. We want to thank everybody for the continued support. And thank you very much for listening and watching episode 456 SGR.
Go Yanks.
Sem, say goodbye.
Ciao.
Can't make a promise, but I do my best. 25 sitting on 25 racks. Just got started, no, we ain't done yet. Bought a new crib, that's a goddamn flex. Sign that check. Told him last year that I've been up next. Can't take calls, but I send that text.